This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. وأخرج الترمذي عن عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لأتين على أمتي كما أتى على بني إسرائيل حذو النعل بالنعل، حتى إن كان منهم من أتى أمه علانية لكان في أمتي من يصنع ذلك. وإن بني إسرائيل تفرقت على 72 ملة، أمتي على 73 ملة، كلهم في النار إلا ملة واحدة. قالوا: ومن هي يا رسول الله؟ قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: قال: ما أنا عليه وأصحابي. Imam Tirmidhi narrates a hadith which the muhaqqiqeen, many of them, have designated as sahih. Obviously, the only two sources of sahih hadith in the world are not Bukhari and Muslim, but they are given, they're accorded a special status because of the excellent nature of their compilation. But as far as sahih hadiths are concerned, you'll find them in many other books. Bukhari and Muslim don't even represent half or quarter of the total number of sahih hadiths that are out there. And this is something that people oftentimes feel okay to dismiss a hadith just because it's not in Bukhari and Muslim off the top of their head. It's not good. You should wait for what the ulama say. If the hadith is sahih, it's sahih. And the hadith of Bukhari is not more sahih than the hadith of something other than it. Because the honor and the nobility of a hadith doesn't come from the fact that Bukhari or Muslim narrated it. It comes from the fact that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the four mukathirin, one of the four narrators from the Sahaba that narrated a great number of a hadith. He narrates from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that a time shall come over my ummah that it will be very much like Banu Israel. We read the stories of Banu Israel in the Quran. The reason for that is not to make fun of them or to feel superior to them. The reason that there are so many stories of Banu Israel in the Quran is going to be spoken about in this very hadith. That there shall come a time over my ummah like the time that came over Banu Israel, and they will follow them حَذْوَ النَّعْلِ بِالنَّعْلِ, that just where their footfalls, the footprints of their sandals went, the footprints of the sandals of the people of this ummah will go. Obviously not all individuals, but as a general trend. To the point where if a person from Banu Israel was to commit zina with his own mother, someone from this ummah would do the same thing. Now again, these are very rare hadiths that you'll find expressions like this being said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Generally speaking, he's very he has too much haya to say stuff like this. The only time he will say it, and it's very rare, it's very sparing, is when some example like this is needed in order to convey a haq that people otherwise will not take to heart. And it's true. We think that Muslims are immune to everything. Whatever is happening to the Banu Israel and whatever is happening to the Yehud and Nasara, it's happening to this ummah as well. All social norms regarding homosexuality, regarding gender, regarding family, regarding just all sorts of different things that were unimaginable even 50 years ago, those things are all being broken right now. And it's not, you know, they'll say, oh look, these people are very progressive and these people are very forward thinking and they're bringing enlightenment. They're not doing any of that. They're just imitating the milal of people that came before. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us of that. That's why when we read the stories of Banu Israel in the Quran, one of the reasons we should read them is that a flag should go up in our head, that these are tendencies that we shouldn't allow ourselves to fall prey to, and that we should protect our ummah from. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then mentions, he says, verily Banu Israel broke and scattered into 72 different 72 different deens, if it were, or versions of their deen. And my ummah will scatter into 73. It will scatter into 73 different versions. And all of them will be in the fire except for one. Which obviously was a matter of some concern for the Sahaba, because one out of 73 is not like, it doesn't seem at first glance to be a great shot. So they asked, Ya Rasulullah, who is that one group out of the 73 groups that's going to make it? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, the one that is the path that I'm on and the path that my companions are on. May Allah Ta'ala be pleased with them. Just a quick note regarding this hadith. The groups or the firaq that are being talked about here, there's a lot of people who, in their kind of naivety or in their lack of education, they'll say, oh, look, see, that's why Hanafi, Shafi'i, and Maturidi, and Athari, and Ash'ari, and all of these other kind of different theological schools within the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, we shouldn't separate into all of these because all of them are going to go to hell except for what the Prophet ﷺ is on. There's a difference between a madhab and there's a difference between a firqa. A madhab is alright, it's good. There are certain matters that there are differences of opinion. No two human beings will ever agree on everything, ever, anyway. There were differences of opinion regarding fiqh amongst the Sahaba as well. Those are different madhabs, they're okay. The thing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alluding to here is people who have different conceptions of the deen with regards to the foundations of the deen. Who is Allah? Who is the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What are the basic foundations, the aqaid of the deen? And without any mistake, all of the different madhabs of the fiqh and the madhabs of aqidah, there's even madhabs in nahu, in Arabic grammar. There's the madhab of the Kufis and the madhab of the Basris. They have long debates as to whether or not, simple things, what's the ishtiqaq of the word ism, etc., etc. They have long debates. They don't agree. They agree to disagree with one another. These things have nothing to do with the usul of Islam. These things are all okay. What is something that's not okay? Someone says, well, I believe there's a prophet that's going to come after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I believe Allah Ta'ala makes mistakes. I believe that, we have the right to reinterpret something that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an interpretation for. And this definition that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, ma alayhi ana wa ashabi, that deen that I'm on and that deen that my companions are on, that is a really beautiful definition, because the only people who accept the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions radiyallahu anhum to be authorities in deen is the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Right? Most people think that being a Sunni just means you're not Shia. That's not what being Sunni is. Being Sunni has its own positive identity. And the tradition of the Ahl al-Sunnah is a positive tradition. It doesn't just mean that you're not a Shia. It means that you accept the deen of the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. And this hadith is very important, and this book is also important for the reason. We're reading the book Hayat al-Sahaba. It's important to know what is it in fact that these Sahaba radiallahu anhum are on before a person says, oh well, we need to reinterpret this and reinterpret that and have a renaissance and have a new enlightenment regarding Islam. Oftentimes those things are just coded ways of saying we want to jettison the tradition and the precedents that were set forth for us by the Messenger of Allah and his companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Allah Ta'ala make us amongst those who are from that one group which is saved and which is accepted by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and keep us and our community and our loved ones away from the other 72 groups or whatever pulls a person to the fire. Just a small note, there's a typo in this hadith, right? The word milla is written with a sad in it, milsa. Typos are very frequent in books. They're very frequent in books. Unfortunately, the exacting nature with which editors used to go over books in the old days, it's not the same as it is from before. I just thought I'd point that out, that oftentimes, in order to see is this a typo or is it not, it requires quite a bit of research. So just to talk about one hadith for 5 minutes, sometimes it takes half an hour, an hour of research to see what these things are. It's something that should be appreciated. We should cultivate. You know, it's one of the beautiful things about the Arabic languages. You cannot read it like English, like brainlessly read it. You have to constantly engage with the text because there's no diacritical marks. You have to see, is this a verb, is it a noun, etc., etc. You have to know grammar and morphology. But one nice thing is it makes everybody into an editor. Your mind can see, is there a mistake in it or is it not? So inshallah, we should also make intention to learn Nahu and Sarf. Inshallah, our children learn these things as well so that they can read things critically. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.